Culture.
Book Review. Afghanistan, 3 years on. Cables from Kabul. War and Peace and War by Andrew North. 20 years by Sune Rasmussen. And My Dear Kabul by Untold Narratives.
Photographs and videos captured the haunting chaos as America withdrew from Afghanistan and Kabul fell to the Taliban on August 15, 2021. In one photo, 640 Afghans are crammed inside an army cargo plane, fleeing the country on one of America's final flights. In a video that horrified the world, Afghans who were not offered a place on another departing plane can be seen clinging on as it took off. So strong was their desperation that they ended up plummeting to their deaths rather than live under Taliban rule. 3 years after the disastrous conclusion to a two-decade-long war, the longest in America's history, people are still taking stock of, and trying to learn from, the failures. A trio of new books mark the grim anniversary. Two of them are reporters' tales. They look back at nearly 20 years following America's Operation Enduring Freedom, which began a month after the September 11th terrorist attacks and eventually led to the killing of Osama bin Laden, who had masterminded them from Afghanistan. These two books by Western journalists, both of whom have contributed to The Economist, Andrew North and Sune Rasmussen, look superficially alike. Both writers covered Afghanistan for years. They broadly agree on what went right and wrong during the 2001 to 2021 period of Western-backed semi-democracy. Both books emphasize the stories of Afghans they came to know well and sympathize with. Yet the reporters have written surprisingly different tales. Mr. Rasmussen, whose dispatches from Afghanistan for The Guardian and The Wall Street Journal were admiringly objective, keeps himself out of the narrative. His story unfolds through the eyes and experiences of four main and several minor witnesses, ranging from a Taliban agent and fighter who grows disillusioned to a hustler who parlays his mastery of English into a business empire supplying fuel to American armed forces. Another memorable character is Zara, an abused child bride who reinvents herself as a single mother, actress, and women's rights campaigner. Her tale of grit and heroism alone makes Mr. Rasmussen's book compelling. Mr. North, who has covered Afghanistan for the BBC, builds his narrative around five central characters, including Afghan journalist colleagues, a provincial Taliban foot soldier, and a bookish teenager who becomes a prominent lawyer. He weaves in his own reporting, with sharp insights into the slow unravelling of the American-backed experiment. After the fall of Kabul, Mr. North has his own encounter with the Taliban. He and his crew are arrested and jailed for a week, a chilling and occasionally surreal experience. An interrogator grills him insistently about which James Bond films he has seen. A very different mix of voices emerges from My Dear Kabul. These are the diary entries from 21 members of a women's creative writing group, furtively recorded in a WhatsApp chat during the year after Kabul fell. The sense of dread and disbelief mounts. These women must abandon their jobs, studies, freedoms, and, in all but four cases, leave their country for exile. Particularly poignant are entries from Mariam, who had studied law at the University of Kabul. Bound to a wheelchair because of a health condition and with her freedoms restricted, she makes minute observations about a quince tree in her garden. I know others have left and moved on to another country to be safe. I cannot even reach this tree. I will see it without fruit, standing alone against the autumn winds. I will see it turn yellow, then without leaves, then with blossom. What went wrong? Many things, from the intractability of rural Afghanistan's tribal ways to the short-sightedness of Western benefactors, to Pakistan's abetment of the Taliban. Mr. Rasmussen offers perhaps the deepest insight. The Americans had promised a generation of Afghans a bright future. But if you topple a regime with military force and promote an ideology on the back of an armed invasion, you implicitly ask the people who follow you to become soldiers, whether they realize it or not, he writes. When Donald Trump told the Taliban that America would scuttle, and then his successor, Joe Biden, accelerated the withdrawal, they left a hopeful generation on the front line alone.